Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's pretty cool to say this, but right now, joining the Doug and Wolf show on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line from the first place Arizona Cardinals is cornerback Byron Murphy, local product. Byron, good morning. How you feeling?
Great morning. Couldn't feel any better. Had a great team win yesterday.
So, Byron, does it feel weird to actually play in your hometown? I've always wanted to know that. Does it feel weird?
It actually doesn't. I think it feels great. You know, it's a dream come true. Like I said, I grew up here just watching the Arizona Cardinals, being a fan. Now I had the opportunity, you know, to have a chance to get drafted here and stay here with all my family. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a blessing for me. I didn't have to, you know, go anywhere and not see my family. So I just think all the support, all the love that, you know, I have for Arizona, my city, I'm happy to be here.
So you're never out there sweating and fighting for your brothers, loving your city, and ever say, man, I should have went to Arizona State. What was I doing?
A lot of people say that, but hey, I just fell in love with UW, Coach Lake, and Coach Pete up there. You know, to this day, I'm just grateful I made that choice. But a lot of people told me to do that as well.
Do you get hit for tickets, though? I mean, do you get hit up for tickets knowing you went to Saguaro, all your high school buddies? Hey, man, help me out, Byron.
Hey, I just don't get my tickets that I get. I got to use. I can't get any extra. That's my line. I can't get any extra.
That's very smart of you. Byron Murphy joining Doug and Wolf. Byron, you knew what it felt like at the end of the game. Here's what it felt like for us as fans.
Fourth and five for the Niners on the 16 of the Cardinals. Garoppolo to pass. Throws to the right side. Incomplete. Murphy steps in front of the receiver and knocks the ball down. The Cardinals take over on downs with 33 seconds to go, leading San Francisco 24-20.
So you just make the play on third and five. Go ahead, open up to us. You're getting lined up for fourth down. You know this is the play of the game. Are you thinking this is the play of the game, or are you able to take a breath and slow things down?
Well, after that first third down, we had called a timeout so we can regroup and come together. Mm-hmm. And then once we went out there on that fourth down, just like, yeah, this is the play. We all got to lock in. We make this play, we win the game. So we got the call. Everyone just locked in, did their job. And that just, you know, I was just able to make that play for the defense.
Talk to me about the win overall and what you think this might do, not only for you individually, Byron, but also for the team. Mm-hmm.
I think as a team, I think the confidence level would be high. You know, when you're in a situation like that, like last year, we've been in a lot of games where it came down to the last minute and we didn't come out with the W. So I just think this game kind of opened our eyes to see, you know, how good we can be. I hope this really puts another chip on our shoulder, just knowing, you know, that confidence level is there, that we could end games like that on the defensive side of the ball and really just lock in and stick together. So I just feel like that play right there, that fourth down, just showed us, well, throughout the whole game, it just showed us we just trust one another. Everyone just locks in and does their jobs. We can be a great defense. So, like I said, we just got to keep working every single day. And, we got the call on that fourth down. We made it happen yesterday.
Byron Murphy, the first pick of the second round, first pick of the second day as well for the Arizona Cardinals. Can you even remotely compare where your head was against Detroit in your hometown stadium last year versus where you were mentally in the game going up against San Francisco yesterday?
Oh, yeah, definitely the biggest thing for me, I felt like the confidence level, you know, not going out there thinking as much, going out there, you know, going through the plays, knowing your assignments at all times. That was the biggest thing for me. Being able to see stuff, you know, last year, kind of getting that experience. So I was kind of, you know, a lot going on for me, thinking too much on the field. But this year, I feel like, well, it's only the first game, but it just felt like it slowed down a little bit. Confidence level was very high, and I just got to keep playing with that swagger and that chip on my shoulder. And, just, you know, just our whole defense just keep going hard this whole season.
Byron, how much has the scheme actually changed from last year, right? With all the new pieces that Vance Joseph has, how much are you guys, at least in game one, did you play a lot more man than you did last year? How much has the scheme changed?
Well, the scheme, you know, the scheme could change a lot. We got a lot of new weapons. There's a lot of new roles in our defense. So whatever, you know, whatever game plan we come up with, I know everyone's going to be able to do their job. So that's the thing about our defense, I think, this year. We have multiple guys that can play different spots, multiple guys that have new roles, different roles, new guys coming in. So it's just a great feeling to have everyone back together. You know, we put a lot of work in the offseason, so. Happy to be here, and we're just going to keep, like I said, keep getting better every single day. Starts that practice, and just keep working game to game.
This is Arizona's own Byron Murphy following the Cardinals' divisional road win on the road at San Francisco, 24-20. Byron, how have, speaking of Wolf's question there, in the last year, how have you changed, not as a player, but as a man, how have you changed since basically you got drafted?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, just being a pro. That means just, you know, just coming in, watching film, doing the things, the small detail that's going to get me better. Watching film with my teammates, just so that we can all be on the same page. The communication is all there. So I just think the little things, you know, that help a lot for me. And then obviously that chemistry with your teammates, that's the biggest thing. So, you know, that's just growing. It was just growing for me, you know, watching film, making sure I'm seeing stuff, you know, that I didn't see, like I said before, but. For me, yeah, I just think that's the biggest thing, just making sure that, you know, those little details that I get locked into as a pro to be, you know, the player that I want to be.
So, Byron, is your nickname Murph in the locker room? I mean, do they call you Murph?
Yeah, they call me Murph.
Yeah, right. I mean, right? It's like Wolf. I mean, that has been my nickname my entire life with Wolfley as the last name. It's been Wolf.
Did you know they played football in the 80s, Byron? Yeah, did you know that's when Wolf played? Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
So, and Byron, don't listen to that bull right there. Do you mind if I call you Murph? Is that okay?
Hey, Murph is cool with me.
Okay, Murph, let me ask you this. What makes DeAndre Hopkins, you've worked against him in practice, what makes him so difficult to cover, Murph?
I just think he's a great receiver overall. There's not one thing, you know, you can say that he doesn't have. I would say one thing, you know, he comes off the ball, uses his hand really well. I really haven't seen him drop anything yet, so that's the biggest thing. Anything that's thrown his way, he can catch. But, yeah, like I said yesterday, you know, that kind of he went out there and showed everybody what he can do. That was his first game, and he came out, you know, came out there hard. So it was good to watch him from the sideline.
Byron, with you being local, you might really be able to feel this. You know, it's been a long time since the Suns were good, and then to go 8-0 in the bubble and not go to the playoffs. We all thought the D-backs were going to go to the playoffs this year, and they're one of the, sadly one of the worst teams in the game right now. And the Coyotes have struggled with so many different things, and they go to the bubble, they do well for a little bit, and then boom, they get slaughtered. We're starving for a winner, even though there were no fans, no Cardinals haters in the crowd yesterday. Can you feel what it meant to be 1-0 for this city? Can you feel that?
Oh, I feel like the energy, man, I just felt like the energy after the game was amazing. Like you said, there was no fans, so you obviously couldn't feel the fan energy. But I just think the locker room and the teammates and the coaches as a whole, I think the energy was just up the whole game. During the game, you know, it was kind of quiet. That's what it really was, just us versus them. So that type of situation, you know, you can hear everything, your communication skills was up, but that feeling, you know, just felt like I said, the confidence level, I feel like it's going to go up for everybody in that locker room, you know, coming out with that type of W, you know, fighting to the last play. So I just think the energy level was great the whole game, and we just got to keep that same energy going throughout the whole year.
Murph, I personally love the fact that they're keeping you at nickel corner. I absolutely love that. Because I mean, it's more like a starting position. It really is in the National Football League.
Sure.
You've got to have three corners. What about you? Is that your preference?
Me, personally, I'm going wherever coach tells me to go. That's outside or inside.
That's a good answer, Murph.
Yeah. Hey, that's just my mindset. Wherever I'm going, wherever I'm playing, I'm playing. Just make sure I'm doing my job. But like I said, the nickel, yeah, that's something, you know, I came into my first time playing nickel was in the league when I got drafted to the Cardinals. But I fell in love with it, but also love outside too. So either one I play, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm out there just going to play the position wherever the coach puts me. So
for a guy born in this city in the late 90s, are you still used to covering Larry Fitzgerald in practice, or do you still geek out?
It's crazy. I always kind of think about that because I was so young when I was watching him, and now I get to play against him. So that feeling's crazy. But, you know, I just every time we're at practice, we're getting each other better and getting to learn for someone like Larry. That's probably one of the best things you can do because you're going against the best every single day at practice. So he's just getting me better. But, yeah, that's crazy because I was so young watching him, and now like, we're teammates. So it's an honor to be his teammate, though.
Murph, you made a great play on fourth down, man. And that's one of the reasons why the Arizona Cardinals are 1-0. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you, Lord willing, down the road.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Byron. Good luck next weekend against Washington. There's Byron Murphy joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, your family-owned and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. You know, I never really thought of that. Imagine being a young corner. And you will never face a receiving corps better than the one you do every day in practice.
Kind of tough right there, isn't it?
You're going up against Fitz and D-Hop, and you don't get a break against Christian Kirk. And they're like, okay, I'm going to be certainly ready for game day when I'm going up against these guys every day in practice. That's just cool. Thanks a lot to the Cardinals for setting that up for us because it's really fun, especially being able to talk to a local product who makes the play to end the game. Yeah. Coming up next, what were our overall takeaways from week one, win one? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford. Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Maloney, what's today's question?
Who was the Cardinals' MVP in week one? Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Byron Murphy, Buda Baker, or other?
Ooh, Kyler Murphy.
Kyler Murray.
I mean Murray. Kyler Murray.
That's a cop-out answer to nail both of them.
You can't pick two, Wolf.
You knew that was coming just talking to Byron Murphy. You knew that was coming.
Hey, if Wolf is hedging his bet, I'm going with DeAndre Murray.
Listen, I'm not going to make the mistake and say Phil Collins coaches the Lakers, like that derailed a whole segment one time. I got to go with Kyler because that third down backbreaking run, and still he is the one throwing it to D-Hop. I'm going to take Kyler Murray.
So 53% say DeAndre Hopkins,
wow.
35% K1, 5% Byron Murphy, 5% Buda Baker, and then 2% other. So, Wolf, you probably fall in the 2% Devondre Campbell.
Man, I thought Devondre Campbell was special. There was no doubt about that. Playing weak side, inside linebacker, not only the fact that he covered as well as he did downfield, but also I just think his physicality and how well he tackled.
I got to tell you, even though I disagreed and I went with Kyler, I'm really impressed with the high football IQ of those 7%. If you're saying Campbell is the 2 and Buda is the 5, that's a high football IQ of you watching that game and saying, because what is an MVP? Take this guy off the field and how does your team do? And a lot of those names that we just gave you, take that guy off the field and the Cardinals do not win that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of them, you have a good argument right there.
How do you know the other isn't Zeke Turner? Because if there's one play that changed the game and that one player is named Zeke Turner, then maybe he should get the other vote.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Tampa Bay yesterday had a field goal blocked with a chin, and they also had two guys trying to catch a mortar kick at the same time, which caused a turnover for the Saints. And even though Amos Jones has left, the residual effect of him still being there just last year.
Oh, my goodness.
They just couldn't get over it.
No, blame the players. Are you kidding me? Scheme.
Special teams. Bear, will you get the highlight of that Amos Jones blocked punt for the Cardinals? When did they
just
ever
blame the players? Let's go. Do your job. Take it seriously and do your job.
Just
get off the field.
Just cue up the 6-6 slugfest against Seattle and the special teams gaffes in that one. The most physical game I've seen from the sideline and just everything there. That was the calling card hallmark game.
Was that the block? Was that actually the block, Paulie? Is that what you're talking about?
That was Bobby
about?
Wagner Bobby jumping Wagner, over the center
right,
twice.
And we didn't change it. Right. The snap count. That was problematic. I blamed I blamed them there.
Speaking of Seattle, they gave up 100 yards receiving to three human beings and one.
Mm.
Really? Jones, Ridley, and Gage all had nine receptions for over 100 yards.
Well,
but because Russell Wilson had as many touchdown passes as incompletions, Seattle, they won by only 13 points. It was far and away worse than that.
Well,
it was 38-25. They dominated Atlanta, and yet they still gave up 300 yards to three men.
What happens when your defense really only has linebackers, only the second level, when you don't have much of a defensive front because you were, almost dead last in sacks last year? If you take away the eight sacks they had against Kyler Murray in his third or fourth game, whatever it was where they got him five times in that fourth quarter, they would have been dead last. And then their secondary is pedestrian at best. So you know what? That's going to be more the norm than the exception, I believe.
Just because, thinking back to the game yesterday and the fact that the Arizona Cardinals, I think they really made a concerted effort to get DeAndre Hopkins the ball. It's one of the reasons why there weren't a lot of air yards to DeAndre Hopkins, right? But a lot of crossing
routes. But it
seemed
like fits in the first quarter, didn't it?
To me, it just seemed like they were trying to get DeAndre Hopkins the ball, and it's no coincidence he had 14 receptions. Not a lot of air yards down the field. I think the New England Patriots, speaking of the rest of the NFL, I think the Patriots really tried to make a concerted effort to run Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Run Cam Newton in this game because they now, listen, if they're going to run Cam Newton to that degree the rest of the season, Cam Newton's not going to last the season. He's not going to last. But I think they wanted to establish the fact that they're willing to do it, and that will have a residual effect going forward.
When I compare and contrast games, I can't get over this. I just told you. Falcons, three 100-yard receivers, and they lose. This is the Cardinals' drive chart. Punt, punt, 10-yard touchdown drive because of a blocked punt. Punt, missed field goal, interception, missed field goal, punt. That's their first three quarters of drives, and they win the game. The Falcons lose with those performances of Ridley, Jones, and Gage. Cardinals win with those drives in the first three quarters of a road game. And they also turn the ball over once. And they still get the victory. How huge is it?
They will snap it from the 36. Wisnowski stands at his 22-yard line. And the punt is blocked. It was blocked by Ezekiel Turner, recovered by Gardeck, who gets up and runs at the 15, and he's tackled at the 10.
Wow.
What's the greatest trait you can have as a team in any sport? Just finding a way to win. Doesn't matter what sort of game you play, just win that game. And honestly, if we're going to talk about Russell Wilson, how many times has Russell Wilson done that to the Cardinals and the rest of the NFL? You look at some of the final stats of the drive charts and nothing stands out, but there's stinking Russell Wilson, third and long, running for the sticks, breaking your back. There's Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter putting together a game-winning drive or two, which is exactly what Kyler and the Cardinals did.
How many times, Paulie, how many times have we commented on the fact that Russell Wilson would pull it down on third and 10, move the sticks, and then suddenly, you know, there you are. You have great coverage, a good pass rush. He slips out, and then he just converts with his legs. How many times? What a backbreaker that is for any defense. You do your job, you do it well, and then suddenly it doesn't matter because you got a quarterback that runs the ball so well and moves the sticks.
Kyler Murray in shotgun, back to throw. Pocket breaks down. Murray runs to the left across midfield. 45, got the first down at the 40, 35, and out of bounds at the 32. Got a great block downfield.
25-yard scamper in that third quarter.
Yep. So it's like Kyler said, he told Buda Baker at the end of the game that it felt very similar to the end of the game against the Niners at Levi's Stadium 2019. But the Cardinals figured it out. Cardinals made plays, and they got the win, which is huge beyond just the surface, just the week one W that you're putting in the win-loss column, because there are teams and organizations, Cleveland Browns, who never figure it out, who year after year after year still continue to lose and can never turn that corner. So essentially what we're hoping now after one game is that after 1 year, Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and company have indeed turned that corner. Instead of losing these close games, now they're going to win them.
It's our first 2020 edition of Big Red Monday Crosstalk. How many access units can we use at once? Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf, presented by Sanderson Ford. Doug and Wolf, Bickley and Marotta, Big Red Monday Crosstalk.
Doug and Wolf show 6 to 10. Bickley and Marotta right after us, 10 to 2. Cliff Kingsbury on at about 12:10 today. And, gentlemen, our first edition of Crosstalk. And since drivers never get to talk, I'll start with Vince.
What are you talking about? All you do is talk.
Yeah, trust us. Drivers never get to talk. And that is this, Vince. Were you ever convinced the Cardinals were going to win before Byron Murphy knocked the ball out on 4th and 5?
In a word, no. I was not. I wish I had more to elaborate on, but you just encapsulated my feelings perfectly.
Next!
I thought when Patrick Peterson was burned on that play, I thought the ball was in the air, and I thought, okay, game's over. They've lost this. And when he turned around and ran back and kind of floated in the air, trying not to face shield the guy and made the play, that's when I thought, this day is different.
Oh.
This day is different for the Arizona Cardinals.
So give us your number one takeaway. What is the number one takeaway you both have on this game?
My number one takeaway is collectively as a community, how great it is to be back above 500 for the first time in 5+ years. It is so awesome to have something like this to kind of marinate in all week. I mean, you can say whatever you want about who played, who didn't play, practice, preseason, all of that stuff. They went and won a game in San Francisco, in San Francisco's backyard. I don't care that there were no fans there. They went in there and took that game. Wasn't pretty, found a way to get it done. That's my number one takeaway. The number two thing, obviously, is just this instant connection between number one and number 10.
Not bad, right?
No.
What about you, Ben?
Resolve. The way that game started, on both sides of the ball, I was really unimpressed with the early play calling, the differential of run and pass.
Yep.
It didn't make much sense to me. Defensively, they looked discombobulated. You fall behind 10 quickly against the defending NFC champions. I think in recent years, the Cardinals find ways to just, you know, turn that into a rout, and they get a big play on special teams to stem the tide. And from that point on, it was a different ballgame. I heard you say, Wolf, that from that point on, the Cardinals thoroughly outplayed the 49ers, and I believe that. But I don't think that would have been possible last year, or certainly not in 2018.
That's the other takeaway. There's no doubt in my mind the 2019 Cardinals lose that game. No doubt in my mind.
Well, the 2019 Cardinals wouldn't have DeAndre Hopkins getting a defensive holding penalty that might have wiped out a safety in the end zone on intentional grounding
from
Kyler Murray. That's one of those little plays at the end that kind of got lost in all of it.
Totally agree. Bickley and Marotta going to start their show coming up at 10 o'clock this morning with their exclusive interview with Cliff Kingsbury at 12:10. I always like to ask you guys this just out of curiosity, now that you've had a day to kind of look over everything. What do you want to know from Cliff? What's one of your first questions that you can't wait to hear what he's going to say about it?
There's so many, honestly. I want to get his thoughts about the depth of the offensive line being tested so early, the decision with Chris Streveler to be the backup, if it was health-related or not, Christian Kirk's seeming absence from the offense. Was that a product of DeAndre Hopkins being so wide open? There's a whole lot of stuff I want to know about today.
It's amazing to me in going back and watching DeAndre Hopkins catches, just how easy he makes playing wide receiver look. He makes it look effortless, getting open against the greatest athletes on this planet. So that gets me so excited going forward. And you could tell Kyler Murray, I agree with Vinny. I was expecting so much more from the offense early on, and the dinking and dunking was driving me nuts. But he found a way to kind of tilt that game with his legs at the end. And there's a lot. Look, to me, my biggest questions going into this season and into week one was, would the defense be on par with this offense? For me to come out of week one really happy for the most part of what I saw from the defense, and acknowledging that the Cardinals have a lot of room for growth on offense and they're still 1-0, that's a good place to be.
Boy, there are two things that I really got jacked up about in regard to Kyler Murray. Number one is the fact that if you blitz him now, all of a sudden you better get home. Because if you don't get home and you blitz him, now all of a sudden he's put it on tape.
Yeah.
Exactly what it can cost you.
Yep.
That to me is huge because that's game one, week one against that defense.
Yep.
They blitzed him, pulled that down, and scored a touchdown.
Yep.
That is the best case scenario going forward. That and the fact that now if any defensive coordinator watches this tape, he's going to say, we got a spy on third and obvious pass situations. We're going to have to take a guy out of coverage and put him on Kyler Murray because he's going to pull it down and run.
That's great points.
The best thing that could possibly happen going forward. That's what got me all fired up, boys.
You know, Vince, I want to know from you because, I mean, Bickley's been here long enough that he's certainly got his townie card in the mail, but you are Phoenix. So when you deal with
offense to that in some ways, Doug, I have to be honest.
When you look at the Coyotes falling, I mean, it's okay that they lost, but just the way they got crushed by the Lanch. When you look at how long it's been that there are kids driving that only know Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire by video memories and things like that. And the unbelievable letdown of not only not making the playoffs, but a 31 loss, at least losing season for the Diamondbacks. How are you feeling today being in first place and beating a division? I mean, are you having an overreaction Monday for the Cardinals?
I don't know if I'm there yet because I don't know if the Cardinals can be that shaky in so many elements of the game. And it sounds weird to say because they just did it against the defending conference champions.
Right.
But I don't think they can be that shaky and continue to win games on a week-in, week-out basis. I thought, you know, Kyler Murray, to echo Wolf's point, and Bick and I have talked about this extensively leading up into his draft pick, is the Cardinals have never really had that guy that can demoralize a defense when you think you got him pinned in.
That's a great word to use.
And he's going to, you know, get into that second level of the defense or maybe take it to the house. In the passing game, it was just kind of eh. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cardinals did a good job against the run and against George Kittle, but their running backs ran wild in the passing game. I mean, there's a lot to button up. So I'm not there yet. I'm not overreacting yet. I'll take the win, definitely, but I'm not there yet.
Gotcha. This is now fill-in-the-blank time with these two because this is not going to be hard for you considering all those hours you have spent in that tiny little room together on Monday mornings. But guess who said this? I was very disappointed in his play. He had probably the easiest guy to block. That just came out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers press conference when Bruce Arians was asked about his own left tackle.
Wow. Did he really?
It's going to be different with it's going to be different this year in Tampa Bay.
Yes, it is. Yes.
He had probably the easiest guy to block. He threw two guys under the bus at the same time. There's Bruce. Have a good show, gentlemen. We'll be listening.
Thanks guys.
Right on.
Absolutely. Nice. There's Bickley and Murata. They're coming up at 10 o'clock. And again, 12:10 today is when they will be talking to the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, as part of their totally exclusive interview that you can only hear right here on 98.7. FM Arizona Sports Station. We want to remind you that if you missed Herm Edwards, if you missed Byron Murphy, if you ever miss any of the great conversations that we have on the show, all you have to do is simply download the app, the iPhone or the Android, and subscribe to the Arizona Sports Podcast. It's the Doug and Wolf Show podcast where you'll never miss any of the show, and it's brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Up next, Paul Calvisi was there, and he's got the latest on what it felt like to be a winner. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits, it's Paul's Call.
All I know is somebody needs to ask Cliff Kingsbury, was that win extra or super extra? That's what we need to ask ourselves right about now.
We'll do that today, Paul.
You know what? We're going to lead with that question later today. How about that, Wolf?
Yeah, that's good, Paul.
You know, if you want me to write all your questions again, I'll do that. I mean, I know you were at a severe disability yesterday on the broadcast because you didn't have the flight out for me to coach you up on the finer points of the game,
right,
and the
Paul.
Game plan.
Exactly.
So, you know, it kind of showed on the air, to be honest
that's
with
so
you yesterday.
That's so funny. I forgot to laugh, Paul.
You know, all I know also is that the D&D hop stood for debut and ding, and we'll get to that in a minute. But last year, here's what I also know, is in that game, Cliff Kingsbury ran off that field, and he was not in a good mood. And what I saw yesterday, looking down from the visiting radio booth, and basically you could still hear everything because there was no one in the stadium, and I heard a guy whooping it up, and it was Cliff Kingsbury, and he's smiling and jogging off the field, and there's so many reasons why. Just look at the way that win came to be, and just look at the fact that he had a quarterback who, dare we say, pulled a Russell Wilson. Didn't have a lot of great stats, perhaps, to show for the first three quarters, but then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, two key scoring drives to pull out the win. And that's the only stat that matters when it comes to Russell Wilson and the great quarterbacks. And Cliff Kingsbury knows as much and said as much after the game.
He continued to play hard and continued to find ways to make plays with his feet, and that's a sign of a winner and a guy that, you know, the team will play behind. And so this is the most proud I've been of him to date, because that is a tough defense, and you get those monsters coming after you for four quarters. It's not easy to sit back there and continue to hang in the pocket, continue to make plays with your feet, and he just kept fighting.
Yeah.
The most proud he's been of Kyler to date. That's quite a statement, akin to when he said, I'm not sure we win that game if it's 2019. That's another big statement. And what we've been talking about with Kyler and our marketing mantra from day one, come for the arm, stay for the legs, you know, that is now on film, what he did yesterday. Right, Wolf?
You got that right.
So it's sort of like the Patriots and Cam Newton, and I like your point that you made, that there's no way that's sustainable the rest of the year. But now it's on film, Belichick put it there, and teams are going to have to prepare accordingly for the next 15 games.
Yep.
And so same thing with Kyler. And when you see him on third and long running for the sticks, and here's another question I want to ask Cliff Kingsbury, did they ever use a spy?
I did not see them using a spy on Kyler Murray. It's one of the reasons why he had the kind of game he did.
Even Herm Edwards was a bit incredulous. They didn't make any real adjustments with DeAndre Hopkins, and as he got 16 targets and they didn't do very much of any, at least nothing that was effective to really stop DeAndre Hopkins. And here's my other big takeaway, because once again, players know players, and they know when they have a quarterback. And they know when they have a quarterback who puts the back into quarterback, the ability to come back, a guy who can have their backs, even if they're not playing that well. Kurt Warner was that guy in his prime for the Cardinals. Carson Palmer was that guy for the Cardinals. And he would throw three or four interceptions at Seattle, but they'd still get the win because he'd make the money throw at the end and lead the game-winning drive. And DeAndre Hopkins, without even really being prompted, said as much about Kyler.
I knew we had something special from the day I walked into this building and seeing the work and how Kyler and his team worked. I've been around a lot of great people, and honestly, Kyler works like it's his last day on this earth, man. If you see the work that he puts in outside of this football facility or what you just seen right there, you would know that nothing is a surprise from what happened today, honestly.
And it's not a real surprise perhaps to us, because we've all been talking about it for the last year. But now outside the Cardinals, as D-Hop says, they're starting to notice. Dan Orlovsky this morning said on ESPN and on SportsCenter that Kyler Murray is a top five quarterback when it comes to QBs that D coordinators do not want to game plan against.
Wow.
And think about how he's beginning to separate himself. That somehow he was on tier three of quarterbacks in the offseason when they did the ratings. I'm not sure how he ended up with tier three. It's sort of like Wolf. Wolf's still in tier three. I've been elevated to tier two.
Yeah, you know, of course, Paul. Nobody wants to hear about your tier two.
So now Kyler is up in tier two.
Might be testosterone related.
And the two of us have left Wolf behind. How long before Kyler, at least according to Dan Orlovsky, is tier one now? So with one game under his belt.
Yeah, you wait till I'm tier one, Paul.
The only thing about that, Paul, that does concern me is why is DeAndre Hopkins always shocked by how hard people work in practice?
that is a valid point on that one.
That might be your shining moment.
Other than that, if you're asking me for takeaways,
Paul, what were your takeaways?
I agree on the Devondre Campbell. I guess we should have listened to Justin Pugh as our takeaway, because Justin Pugh told us 2 weeks ago on the Big Red Rage that we're not talking enough about Devondre Campbell. So once again, players know players, and there you go. And otherwise, Isaiah Simmons, obviously he got an education on the job, and I'd love to ask Vance Joseph, what do you think Isaiah Simmons learned in week one about the NFL?
He probably learned that the NFL is not the ACC, Paul. That's a guess. But that's what I watched Isaiah Simmons play, and it was interesting because the Arizona Cardinals, based on Orleans, they started out where they had three inside linebackers on the field. It was Isaiah Simmons, and we know they move Isaiah Simmons around, and they will move him around. Devondre Campbell and Jordan Hicks, all three on the field. Two down linemen, Paul. Did you happen to notice that? Mm-hmm. They had Devon Kennard and Chandler Jones on the outside and five linebackers on the field. The first two possessions against 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end. That is the base personnel group for the 49ers in rundown situation. I was stunned to see that. Two down linemen and five linebackers on the field making that box. Very interesting. In the first two possessions, I haven't looked at the tape yet. I'll go back and I'll look at it after today's show. But if I'm not mistaken, those first two possessions for the 49ers, that's how many they had in the box, and that's how many were linebackers, five of them.
Can I just say real quick that the crime of yesterday was that Wolf actually wasn't playing, because if there was ever a player who was really well-suited and equipped to deal with smoke in his lungs and play football,
yes,
it's the guy who used to smoke Lucky Unfiltered.
I know,
so that was too bad.
It was awful, ladies and gentlemen. Kids, don't smoke. It's horrible.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is this tweet an hour ago from the actual New York Times. Breaking news. Astronomers have found a potential sign of life in the clouds of Venus, a planet long overlooked in the search for ET life.
So there's hope for Tucson. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So it's an amoeba. I'm going to say this. The Cardinals are 1-0. Peace and strength.
It's all about